I want to just start with a verse out of Psalm 19 and verse 11 today about the commandments of the Lord, and then I want to get to some of the commandments of the Lord. I learned something this week, and I want to share that with you. I hope you learn things all the time. I learn something new every day, amen? Yeah, we can. Our God is a God of infinite understanding. We're told in Psalm 147, verse 5, which means he can teach us something the rest of our existence, and we never learn it all. So, but to build the message on, I want to look at Psalm 19 and verse number 11. Let's start at verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Boy, wouldn't that be nice if everybody would pursue God's knowledge and God's fear more than money. Boy, what a world we live in. Yea, than much fine gold. And I think gold's up to about $1,000 an ounce right now. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now my text is this, moreover by them. What is that? By the commandments of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Notice the commandments of God do two things in verse 11. They warn us, and then if we keep them, they reward us. It's not just God trying to make us afraid. It's God trying to give us a rewarding life. It is a rewarding life to keep the commandments of the Lord. Most people don't think so. Most people think, well, if you keep God's commandments, you'll never have another day of fun in your life. You'll never smile again. But you know, a lot of people who have disobeyed the commandments of the Lord, that has led them to an early demise, and they've never had a life. But in keeping those commandments, it says there is great reward. Our God is a rewarding God. He wants to reward you in this life as well as in the next life, and in keeping his commandments, there is great reward. But also by them we are warned. Many times he portrays himself in the word as a rewarding God, a rewarder. For instance, it says in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If you will diligently seek the Lord, you will have a rewarded life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4, he says that if you'll give alms to the poor, if you'll help people that are poor in private and not let anyone know you're doing it, he says, I will reward you openly. He says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6, he says, if you pray in secret, go off and pray where nobody's going to see you pray. He says, your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. He says in Matthew 6 and verse 18 that if you fast and you go without food and you pray for people or situations and people that are hurting and miss a meal or two meals or a day or whatever, and you fast and you go without food and you don't let anyone know you're fasting, the Lord will reward you openly. Over and over again, he says, if you do this, I'll reward you. You do this, I'll reward you. You do this, I'll reward you. You do this, I want to reward you in this life. And in our text, he says, if you keep my commandments, there's great reward. There's great reward. He is a rewarding God. Now, please don't confuse salvation with a reward. Salvation is a gift. But there's so many other things we can do after the Lord has saved us by his grace that he will reward us in this life. And many people in this room can testify that in their attempt to live the Christian life, God has rewarded them. And God has blessed you so much more than before when you were living in sin. It's a rewarding life. But our text says that the commandments also warn us. They warn us. Now, I really never studied much about mothers. Mine died when I was 4. I really didn't have a whole lot of reason to, I guess. But this week I learned something, and I put it on the back of your bulletin. I don't usually do this, but my outline's on the back of your bulletin right here. And I'm not really going to speak to the mothers, but to everybody who surrounds the mother's life, and as a result, I hope this will make you moms' lives a lot better. I never realized how many commandments God had in the Word. I found 8. There's probably 10 if you really want to stretch some of the verses I'm going to use to embellish some of these points. I was amazed how many commandments God put in the Bible concerning children regarding their attitude and their actions towards mothers. It just fascinated me. And of course, the most famous is number 1, honor your father and mother. That's the only one I really knew by memory because my dad made me memorize it. And that commandment, and I want to speak on 8 commandments for children regarding their mothers. That commandment's the only one I knew by memory, and I found it listed 9 times in the Bible. 9 times God says, honor your father and thy mother, the first being Exodus 20 and verse number 12. Now remember what I just said. I said, in keeping God's commandments, we're warned, and in them is great reward. Well, look at the reward in the next part of the verse. That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God notices every one of us. And the Bible says that if he will notice you honoring your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God, longevity. That's a great reward, isn't it? And in keeping of them, there is great reward. If you keep God's commandment, we need to be very, very careful about our attitude towards our mother and be sure that we honor her. Now, we better know what the word honor means. The word honor means to glorify, to exalt, to revere, to fix with value. Over in the book of Acts, they started giving all kinds, in chapter 28, they started giving all kinds of gifts to Paul while he was on the island of Melita. And it says they bestowed upon him many honors. That was the word that was used interchangeably for the gifts that they gave their mother. Now, I'm glad we give gifts to moms on Mother's Day, but we ought to do it all the time. We ought to glorify our mother. We ought to exalt our mother. We ought to revere our mother. And if we'll do that, the Lord will give us a long life. And that's probably why we find this wording here in Proverbs 15, verse 20. It says, a foolish man despiseth his mother. A foolish man despiseth his mother. Why would he be a fool? Because he may be shortening his life. Proverbs 23 and verse 22 says this, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, listen, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Aha. Sometimes we think, well, I've reached the magic age of 18, and so these commandments are all over with now. And where's this 18 thing in the Bible anyway? We're okay, you're 18, you don't have to listen to your father or mother anymore, you don't have to honor your father or mother anymore, you're on your own, and so on and so forth, and what can they do? You know, and you hear that kind of attitude. Where's that in the Bible? The Bible says, despise not thy mother when she's old. Listen, what God's saying is that if your mother becomes 90 years old and you're 70, don't despise your mother. If your mother gets to be 80 years of age, like my stepmother did yesterday, don't despise her if you're 51. You're supposed to honor her. And so I made it a point to go over and see her yesterday at the farm and took her a gift that one of the kids made her and spent some time talking with her and going to take her out to a restaurant Tuesday. And you honor your father and mother. You never despise. It doesn't matter. There's no age limit. When she's old, the Bible says, don't despise your mother. Don't despise your mother. Now, that's about all I knew about the commandments of God, honestly, up to this week of my life regarding what the Bible says. Because my mother died, and my stepmother, I never had a close relationship with her. I want you to notice number two, the Bible says, and these are in order as they appear in the Bible as I studied it out. Number two, it says, never hit your mother. Never hit your mother. It says this, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. Aren't you glad you don't live in Israel during the days of Moses and during the days of the law? Some of you maybe wouldn't be here right now. There's actually about 27 reasons given in the law. If you'll study it out, I wrote it out once. I got a Bible study floating around here somewhere, given for the death penalty. Now, we know the big ones. Murder is one. Rape is one. But can you imagine this? Hitting your mother. The Lord said to Israel in your country, we don't live in Israel, we live in America. But the Lord said in Israel, if you hit your mother, put that child to death. Now, listen, I just want to say this before we move on. I hear about kids biting their mother, slapping their mother, kicking their mothers, pushing their mothers. What is going on? This behavior needs to be nipped in the bud. And I'll tell you how. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says this, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. This idea of a kid biting his mother, kicking his mother, slapping his mother, pushing his mother or something like that, you better take care of that or God might take care of it someday. These commandments are to warn us. You never, ever, ever hit your mother. Ever. Now, how do you fix this problem? You say, well, I have that problem. My kid bites me or kicks me or punches me or pushes me or says I hate you and all this other crazy stuff kids get away with nowadays. Or says no. And the real kicker is when these moms give the kid, 5 seconds to be disobedient. Okay, kid. One. Two. And you're saying, okay, kid, I'm allowing you to be a rebel for 4 seconds. But the fifth one, so help me, and then they usually don't do anything anyway. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Now, I got me a little book that I wrote years ago, and I thought I had it here. It's out on this here rack as you go down the steps over here, this literature rack called Parenting Corporal Correction for Children. It might be good for some of you. And by the way, I know that Mr. O'Mara and Mrs. O'Mara are teaching on parenting right now in the young adult Bible class we have at 10 o'clock. Some of you ought to come to that. You that are in your 20s, they have a class from 18 to 30 years old. You ought to come to that. They're teaching on parenting right now. And you might think that you don't need that. You're going to need it. And I get a kick out of some of these businesses I call them. They say, well, every child should be a wanted child. Well, most of us wouldn't be here if that was the truth. Planned pregnancies and all that. Yeah, right. But all of a sudden, you're going to be a parent. And there's a difference between corporal correction and child abuse. And corporal correction still works, and it's still legal in all 50 states of the United States of America. And there, the rod and reproof, that is the exposing of what they did wrong, not just beating the kid for no reason or blindsiding him. But the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's the verse I got right in the back. But this will go through a whole bunch of verses and techniques and so on and how to do that properly without abusing the child. Now, I guarantee you can stop that biting. And you can stop that pushing and that I hate you stuff and I'll give you 5 seconds stuff. If you want to take a timeout? My dad gave me a few timeouts. or I should say come to's. He didn't quite go by the Bible. He was, you know, he wasn't saved when I was growing up, and he got saved about the same time I did, so he didn't really do the timeout stuff. But he did give me some timeouts, man. You just, I don't know how long I was out. Man, it was just like stars, you know. What happened? And he didn't give us the reproof either. We figured that out on our own later. Never hit your mother. Number three, never curse your mother. Never curse your mother. It says here in Exodus 30, 21 and verse 17, and he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. There's just too much cursing and profanity in our society as it is today. And a lot of it is just funneled into our homes through the television and movies and so on. You just ought to keep that stuff shut off. Cursing and profanity is the heart throwing up. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what profanity is, the heart throwing up. And nobody ought to curse their mother. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, it says this, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Now, I don't know what that means, but I don't want to find out. His lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness if a person curses their father or their mother. The law, Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 9 said this, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. So there was another cause in Israel. Again, we don't do this in America. But in Israel, they were supposed to put to death a son or a daughter who cursed their mom. Now, what does the law do? The law reveals to us the righteousness of God. It shows us what is important to God. And it sounds like motherhood, as I studied this out this week, motherhood took a much higher position in my heart. When I said, wow, you hit your mother, you're dead in Israel. You curse your mother, you're dead. No trial, no, don't go into the jury. You're dead. In Leviticus 18 and verse 7, it says, number 4, never uncover your mother's nakedness. Never uncover her nakedness. It says in Leviticus 18, 7, the nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother, thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The Bible is talking here about having the utmost respect for the human body within the family unit. That fathers and mothers ought to themselves dress modestly and keep themselves covered in front of their children. And children ought to keep their fathers and mothers covered up and have the utmost respect for the human body. Now, there's basically, in our day and age, no respect for the human body. We as believers live by a different law and a different spirit. Remember when Noah got drunk? He shouldn't have, but he got drunk. And he was laying out, and drunkenness often leads to nakedness, and he's laying there in his tent, naked. He's got three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Remember that? And Shem and Japheth took a blanket or something. Remember that? And the Bible says they walked into the tent backwards, and they covered him up. But Ham saw his nakedness. And God said to him, cursed be Canaan. That would be Ham's son. Because he saw his nakedness. And a curse came upon that person because of the lack of dignity that he showed towards his parents. Now, parents, I need to interject something here. You need to set the standard in your home. You can't be walking around in front of your kids half naked and then have them somehow be able to live according to the scripture. We do not have enough modesty today in our own homes. Now, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn over to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. And we're going to get to these books, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. I'm going to actually try to study these on Sunday mornings here. These are the order books of the Bible. Our theme is order this year. You want the order books of the Bible. They're 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. These set life in order, and the church in order. And as it's addressing ladies, it says this in 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearl or costly array, but with good works. Now in the parentheses in verse 10, Paul is beginning to imply that ladies in his day were starting to put off what was important, which was modest apparel, and starting to put on what wasn't important, having fancy hairdos and all kinds of jewelry and everything. And he says, in like manner also, women ought to adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, I don't have time to park here, but there's two words I want to encourage you. If you don't have a Strong's Concordance, get yourself a Strong's Concordance as a Bible study tool and aid in your home. And you can look up these words and it'll tell you the Greek word root that it comes from and the definition of the word. And ladies, it tells us here that you ought to dress in modest apparel. That word modest means of good behavior. Of good behavior. It ought to be good behavior the way a lady dresses. And then the word apparel is a Greek word katastole, which means a lowering, a letting down, a flowing of the garment let down. And if you want to start telling ladies how to dress nowadays, man, you better start ducking. Because that sure gets personal with them. But the Bible hasn't changed. And there ought to be a letting down of the clothes. I was talking to my dad yesterday, and he told me about an accident he was in 3 years ago that sent him to the hospital. So it wasn't any fault of his own. He was just sitting at the guy behind him was completely at fault. He was just sitting at a stop sign. Or a street light waiting for the light to change, and wham, the guy ran into him, rear-ended him, and sent my dad to the hospital just for a few hours. And then when the police, charged the guy and everything, they said, what happened, and so on and so forth. You know what the guy said on the report? He said there was a girl on the sidewalk wearing short shorts and a real tight short blouse, and I was distracted. We run the report. Now, every man in this room knows what that man's talking about. If you're normal. Some men aren't normal today. God made women to be distractive to men in a proper setting, but not out on the sidewalk. The guy hit my dad right in the... Could have killed him. And this happens all the time. The Bible says about modest apparel. So I leave my dad's house, go up the road a quarter of a mile to the landscaping business, like every other man yesterday, trying to find a Mother's Day present for my wife. So I got her this beautiful bush of roses. And so help me if there isn't a lady there, and I really wanted to interview her because I knew I was going to preach this sermon on. So help me, if she had a skirt, if it went down to here, I'd be amazed. And it was so tight, I'm just trying to imagine, how'd she get into this? She must have been like, I don't know how it was possible. And I really felt like going over to her and saying, dear lady, would you ever like men to respect you, maybe once? Or was that hard to do or something? It's just crazy nowadays. Well, I got to go on here, but this word apparel means letting down, not seeing how high you can get the thing up, or how small or how tight it can be. I mean, men haven't changed. They still got red blood going through their veins, and we are having huge problems in this country regarding morals. And I know almost in most cases the men are the ones blamed, but God made us to share this earth together. And you need to set a good example at home. And you all need to be very respectful at home of the human body and of your mother. Number five, fear your mother. That means to be afraid of her in a reverential way. Remember, God is on her side. God sides with authority. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. Yeah, but Pastor, Caesar was no good. He was Antichrist. He was a... Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Why? He's my authority. That's what Jesus said. God always sides with authority. And God is siding with your mother and your father. And you say, well, my mom's not saved or anything. But she's still the one in that role in your life. Now, number six is obey your mother. And I understand that there's a difference. You know, if your mother asks you to do something illegal or immoral, unseemly or something, then you have a higher authority than her, your father, or God is higher in authority. And there's no reason why we have to be forced to do something illegal, immoral, unseemly for anyone. But if your mom just asks you to pick up your room, that's not immoral, illegal, or unseemly. Or to take out the garbage, or to do the dishes, or to sweep the driveway, or whatever, and mow the lawn. You just do it. If she says, I want you to come back to church on Sunday night, that's the end of the conversation. It doesn't matter what you feel. Or I want you to go to church on Wednesday night. That's the end of the conversation. It's too many parents are slaves to children's emotions nowadays. Well, I don't want to hurt my kids' feelings. And you know, if they want to go to church, they don't want to go to church. You know, I'm afraid I might turn up. I might lose their hearts. You've already lost them. They're gone. And when they get to be 18, 19, they're going to bolt out of here as fast as you can imagine. You never believe they could move so fast. Do you make your kids brush their teeth? This idea, well, I don't want to force... What's more important, their teeth or their soul? You'd be surprised what they're hearing, even when they're sitting there like this. You'd be surprised what they're hearing. We're loading their boat because they're going to sink someday. And they're going to grab for a life preserver. It's going to be something you taught them. Something they heard at church. And all of a sudden, us, we're not going to look so dumb in a little while. You need to obey your mother. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 20, it says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. There's the Proverbs. Well, that's a scary book, isn't it, sometimes? All those things I've been reading today. Here's one. Again, I don't know what this one means either. It means something. Proverbs 30 and verse 17 says this, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagles shall eat it. Again, I don't know what that means. It means something, though. That person who despises to obey. Yeah, I'll do it, but I don't want to. Boy, don't go near any valleys. You see ravens and eagles coming, man, getting doors or something. You know? Obey your mother. The Bible says obey your mother, and there's a big, long text there on your sheet, but we got to finish up. Number seven. Never lightly esteem your mother. Wow. These things just keep building. I never knew the office of mother meant so much to God. And I'm sorry I never told you this before either. Deuteronomy 27:16 says, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say amen. Now, we learned earlier that in keeping God's commandments is great reward. But notice here, cursed be anyone that setteth light by his father or mother. Someone that just, that's just mom, that's just my old man. That's just the old hag, the old lady. Remember us in our rebellious generation, the 60s and 70s, us people that had to grow up in that mess? Now you're old lady. Now you better watch your mouth. God's listening. We should never lightly esteem our mother or father. We should say, that's my mother. That's my father, and I thank God for him. Don't lightly esteem your father and mother. Well, sorry, but I'm going back to Proverbs. Proverbs in 19 and verse 26 says this, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach." Now, you could say another one is don't chase away your mother, but I limited it to 8. You could probably make 10 out of these. But this is obviously somebody that lightly esteems his mother when he chases his mother away. Maybe his mother comes later in life and needs some help or something, and he ain't got time for her. But we've got to take time for our moms. The word chaseth away his mother means to drive away or to cause to flight. Now, I hope as we're going through this, you're starting to think about your relationship to your mom here. If you've got moms, I know a lot of your moms have passed. I understand that. But some of you still have moms. Number 8, finally, never rob your mother. Whoso robbeth his mother or whoso robbeth his father or his mother, Proverbs 28:24, and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. Now, the last I knew, the word Satan and destroyer were synonymous. The last I knew, Satan was a thief. It says, whoso robbeth his mother or his father or his mother, say, it's no transgression, the same as companion of a destroyer. Let me tell you something. Your mother's not a bank. And she's going to need her money for when she's older. She's going to have some needs when she's older. And her husband dies. She's going to have some needs. You know, those that study finances, you know what happens in the last month of your life? You liquidate almost all your assets in medical costs, nursing home costs, usually in the last month or 2 months of your life. And you just leave your mother alone. If God's blessed your mother, don't you get your eyes on her thing. I just can't wait till she kicks the bucket so I can have this and this and this and this. Boy, these inheritances get ugly. People. You just let your mom enjoy what God's given her. You be careful. Don't rob your mother, father. Don't even do it for the church. Don't you rob your mother and father just for the church. Jesus said this, Matthew 15, verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, these religious leaders, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift by which thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. You know what these leaders, religious leaders, were saying? Don't give that to your mom and dad. Give it to us. Jesus said, you've made the word of God of none effect. Let me tell you something. There are men all over the radio and all over the television who are charlatans, who are just getting into using emotional entrapment to just steal every last penny out of widows' purses for their so-called ministries. And they're going to answer to God for it someday. And you know me, I believe in tithes and offerings and everything, but if your dear mom's over there and she's having a hard time, don't you give any money to the parking lot fund. And don't you give any money to the printing ministry. You take care of your mother. And you take care of your father. And don't you worry about the Lord's church here in Eden or anywhere. God will take care of that. You take care of your mom and dad. I studied that this week, and I said, wow. I never knew God taught so much about mothers. I never knew He had given so many laws and commandments to mankind to make sure that mom lives in bathed in the security of her children all of her life. If they lived by this, there wouldn't be a mom on earth who would be stressed or worrying, and she would know her husband as much as he can and her kids as much as they are going to take care of her till her last breath and never give her any problems, no troubles. Honor your father and mother. You can't honor your father and mother if you're embarrassing them. I want to encourage you to live a holy and godly life, sanctified unto the Lord. Because that's the best way. I hope I'm living in a way that honors my father and my stepmother to this day. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer. At this time, we have what we call the invitation at our church, the altar call. We invite people to come and pray. And I've tried to do both, that the Bible says. I've tried to warn you, showing the commandments of God. But I've also tried to tell you the positive side, and that is there's great reward in keeping these commandments. I apologize as a pastor for going 25 years and never even studying out just how many commandments God has given us regarding our mothers. But you know something? If you keep these commandments, the rest of your life, you'll have the happiest mom on earth. Now, some might not be able to do business at the altar here today. Some may have to call mom this afternoon and apologize. Some may have to go out and see mom in the next day or two, the next week, and say, you know, Mom, I never knew God asked me to do this, and I'm sorry for the way I treated you. I want you to forgive me. I want you to know you can count on me the rest of your life. You can count on me, Mom. Man, if you still got a mom, for those of us who don't, then do it. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, the piano begins to play a song of invitation. If you need to stand to your feet and step out tonight and come and kneel and pray, you do so now.